All right. It is 6 p.m. and I will now begin our presentation. I would like to note to everyone that tonight's meeting is being recorded in its entirety. My name is Courtney Gallagher, and I'm an associate with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working with Wright Road Properties to develop the subject property. I'm joined tonight by Jim Kraft, who's with Wright Road Properties and Elm Street Development. I'm also joined by Anna Stone, who is a landscape designer with Morris and Ritchie Associates. And we are here specifically to discuss the Wright Road Properties. I'll go through a brief presentation and then we'll have a question and answer session. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code Section 17-2-107, which specifically states that a community meeting must be held within the 6-month period prior to the initial submittal of a sketch plan or a preliminary plan. It is the developer's intent to submit a sketch plan for the Wright Road property project within the next several months. The purpose of this meeting is to present information regarding the project, specifically with regards to stormwater management and modification requests, and to allow the community an opportunity to ask questions and make comments on the proposed development. First, I'll start with a review of the existing conditions of the site. The Wright Road property is located along Wright Road, which is here along the top of the page, approximately 1,300 feet south of Dorsey Road, which would be off the page to your right. The project area is composed of 8 separate parcels that are shown on tax map 8 and include parcels 252, 260, 261, 265, 271, 316, 325, and 326. Those properties are bound by the thick black line on the plan here. The properties encompass a total of 10.7 acres. The Wright Road development is a privately proposed development that is being developed by Wright Road Properties, as I stated. The properties are all privately owned. These properties are all zoned R15, which is a residential zone. The properties are not located within a critical area, and several of the properties are currently developed with single-family detached residences. The remaining properties are undeveloped. There is a stream along the southern edge of the property here that has an associated stream buffer, as well as a floodplain, and there are associated wetlands with that stream as well, which have stream buffers. There is an isolated wetland here towards the north end of the site, close to Wright Road, that also has a wetland buffer. There are no steep slopes on the subject properties. The properties are a combination of wooded areas, predominantly here towards the north and southern ends, and the remainder of the site is open lawn or residential development, those residential homes. There are 21 specimen trees, which is these sort of circle symbols on the plan, that are located on or within the vicinity of the subject properties. The majority of those specimen trees, as you can see, are located here in that southern end of the property. There are highly erodible soils on the property, located predominantly here in the northeast quadrant of the properties. And there are no historic sites on or in the vicinity of the property. A portion of the properties here along the south, again, is located within a protected green infrastructure network, and that's associated with that stream and floodplain. There are no rare, threatened, or endangered species that have been identified on these properties. In addition, there are no bogs on or in the vicinity of the subject property. And these features have all been field verified. That concludes our existing conditions. Now I'll move on to the proposed conditions. The site is proposed to be developed with between 84 and 88 townhouse units. townhouse units will be on individual fee simple lots, and there will be a mix of front-loaded two-car garage townhomes, front-loaded one-car garage townhomes, and rear-loaded two-car garage townhomes. The roads within the development will be private. The roadways will be 24-foot wide minimum, and the alleys will be 20-foot wide minimum. The roads will be located in access easements or rights-of-way that can range in width between 26 feet and 40 feet, and the alleys will be in access easements or rights-of-way that are a minimum of 22 feet wide. Access into the development will be proposed here at Wright Road opposite Linden Drive. This entrance road will then circle through the development to provide access to the individual units. There's also right now an alley proposed to provide access to some of these alley-loaded units in the center of the site. Townhomes require, per county code, 2.5 parking spaces per unit, which results in a total of between 210 and 220 parking spaces for the development. Each rear load townhouse will have a two-car garage and a full-depth driveway and will therefore exceed the 2.5 parking space requirement per unit. Each front load townhouse will have a one-car garage and a full-depth driveway and will provide 2 parking spaces per unit. The additional half a space requirement that cannot be met in the garage or driveways for those front load units will be provided in on-street parking that's located throughout the development. There will be a total of between 210 and 220 parking spaces minimum for the project. Sidewalks are proposed throughout the development to each front door of every unit to provide connectivity within the development and out to Wright Road as well. The open space requirement for the project is 3.2 acres, which is equal to 30% of the total project site. Over 3.6 acres of open space will be provided in dedicated open space lots. Active recreation requirement for the site will be between 0.96 acres and 1.01 acres, which is based on a requirement of 500 square feet per townhouse. A total of approximately 0.47 acres minimum of active recreation is proposed with this development. And that is based on the developer's intent to program this space with physical amenities in lieu of simply reserving the land area for future improvement by the homeowners association. Those active rec areas right now are proposed here towards the center of the site and at the north end of the site. Development has been focused towards the middle and north end of the properties to avoid impact to the environmentally sensitive areas at the southern edge of the property. In order to allow for the development, portions of the existing woodland, mostly towards the north and central area here, are proposed to be cleared. In addition, there is one specimen tree here adjacent to Wright Road that may be removed to allow for the development. The other specimen trees on site are proposed to be retained. None of the environmentally sensitive features are proposed to be impacted. That includes the streams, stream buffers, floodplain, wetland or wetland buffers here at the south. The isolated wetland here at the north end of the property is proposed to be removed for the development. The project will be served by public water and sewer. There are existing services here within Wright Road, and they will be extended to the property to provide service to the residential units. The proposed limit of disturbance for the project will total approximately 7.3 acres. Stormwater management will be provided throughout the development in micro stormwater management practices in accordance with Anne Arundel County's stormwater management design criteria, which includes environmental site design to the maximum extent practicable. These stormwater features will include microbio retention facilities and potentially bioswales as well, which will be located throughout the development. These practices are small depressions similar to rain gardens that will handle runoff from micro drainage areas of approximately 1/2 to 1 whole acre. They are designed so that they will hold water for no more than 24 hours. The intent is for storm runoff to run over land into these facilities where it can then filter through the layers of media in the facility and infiltrate as much as possible into the ground. Any water that does not infiltrate into the ground will be collected in a storm drain system. Based on initial calculations, peak management is not required for this particular project. Stormwater facilities and the storm drain system will outfall two locations here, the southern edge of the site, into the stream buffer and floodplain. School-age children in the development will attend Severn Run High School, MacArthur Middle School, and Hebron Harmon Elementary School. All three schools are currently open for enrollment. This project will likely require the following modification requests. A modification to allow forest clearing, which the county requires anytime we're cutting down any more than 1/2 acre of forest. A modification to allow removal of a specimen tree, and mitigation for that removal may include additional reforestation and or removal of invasive plant species on site. A modification to allow reduced active recreational land area based on providing physical amenities. A modification to allow alternative road design standards in keeping with comparable townhouse projects in the county for the proposed private roads. These deviations may include reduced pavement width, reduced minimum right-of-way width, relocation of sidewalks and planting strips outside of rights-of-way, reduced horizontal curve radii, reduced spacing between driveways and intersections, and reduced intersection spacing along roads. And as I noted, all of those modification deviations that I just listed are in keeping with typical townhouse development within the county for private roads. So that concludes my presentation, or at least this initial part of the presentation. I'd like to give Jim an opportunity to add anything he would like before I go over the review process in a little more detail.
Good evening. Jim Kraft, thank you for the introduction and the overview, Courtney. I work for a firm called Elm Street Development. We're a privately held real estate development firm out of McLean, Virginia. We've been operating in many jurisdictions in this area, in the Baltimore, Washington vicinity for some time, in Anne Arundel County for over 40 years. I've been active in Anne Arundel County for 20 myself. We've developed several subdivisions in this particular corridor of the county. This is a great location. There's been several developments nearby that we've worked on. This really represents the very first step in the process for us. We've got our concept plan together. We've gone over existing conditions. The next step really is to submit the sketch plan application. That's the purpose for this meeting. And we intend to do that within the next several weeks. Technically, the code requires us to have a meeting, and then we have 6 months to apply for the plan, but we typically like to get the plans in pretty quickly after this meeting to the extent that we can coordinate with our civil engineer and get them submitted. I'll let you talk about timing, or I can talk about it as well, either way.
I'll give kind of a brief overview, yeah. And if you want to talk more specifics on this project. Okay. So as Jim stated, so this is a pre-submittal community meeting. So once this meeting is concluded, the developer will be in a position to submit a sketch plan. Once that sketch plan is reviewed and ultimately approved by the county, they'll be able to submit a final development plan. The final development plan is a more detailed engineering submittal package and also includes a subdivision plat. Once that final development plan has been submitted, we will hold a post-submittal community meeting. So that'll be the second required community meeting for this project. Before the project can go to construction, that final plan will have to be approved and the subdivision plat will have to be recorded. And the developer will also have to apply for a grading permit. And ultimately, that grading permit is what, once it's approved, will give them entitlement to begin construction on site. So that whole process generally takes 2 to 3 years, depending on, you know, the counties, any comments they might have, how busy they are, and how quickly you know, we can get through that review process. I don't know if you want to add.
No, just to recap, it's a three-step process. So this is the first step in that three-step process, which is sketch or preliminary plan, the second step being final, and the third step being grading permit. So if you're curious as to when you may see some activity out here, it's probably not going to be for 30 or 36 months from now in terms of actual site work. At that point in time, after and once we start developing the site, we would engage a builder. So we don't vertically build the homes ourselves typically. We work with any number of national or regional builders that would come in and build a model home and sell, you know, sort of one house at a time through the program. So at, you know, probably 36 months or better from when you might see some vertical construction or actual new homes. Those are typical time frames for your average subdivision in Anne Arundel County. Sometimes they last a little longer, sometimes it's a little bit shorter. It depends on a variety of factors. But much of our planning that we do in advance, we try to prevent projects from becoming overly complex, which is why, you know, we avoid all the environmental features on purpose to comply with all the sections of the code to make the approval process more expeditious. But I mean, with that, you could probably just open it up for some general questions.
There's one other housekeeping item, sorry, that I need to go over for the community meeting process. So tomorrow morning, the recording of this community meeting will be provided to Anne Arundel County so that they can include it on their community meeting website. At that point, a 14-day comment period will begin, where anybody can go online to the community meeting website, review the presentation, make comments or ask questions via that website. Or you can submit comments directly to this email address, communitymeetingcomments@aacounty.org. And if anybody needs that, again, you can talk to me after the meeting. But after that 14-day comment period has closed, the development team will prepare meeting minutes and mail those out. We have another 14 days to complete the minutes and have them sent out to anyone who is in attendance to tonight's meeting, as long as you signed in and we have your information, and anyone who received the initial notice about tonight's meeting. Once those meeting minutes have been mailed out, at that point, the community meeting, this pre-submittal community meeting process will be concluded, and the developer will be in a position to submit a sketch plan.
And so, just to recap, that process happens again at our final plan application. So we'll have another meeting within 30 days of submitting our final plan, and the same minutes and correspondence process will be in place at that time as well. So any changes between now and when we make that application will be reflected on the next plan that we'll see at our next meeting.
Just to clarify, it is about 45 days post-submittal for the final plan.
I sensed that I was off a couple days.
So with that, I'd like to open it up.
I'm not sure if you went over the traffic mitigation, being that you can have 80 new houses.
84 is shown on this plan. Mm-hmm.
So at least 100 cars, perhaps, not double. Are any plans to, is the road going to be widened on Wright Road? Or
so that's all part of the process that we're going through now. So as part of sketch plan, this is our sketch of the project, obviously, but we have to complete many steps as part of the county code to file that application. Those include adequate public facilities. So we talked, Courtney talked a lot about stormwater management. She mentioned schools, but roads is also another piece of that. So at this juncture, we've engaged our traffic consultant to complete what's called a traffic impact study. That's a requirement to complete in advance of filing this plan. That traffic impact study will determine what impacts the volume generated from the site will have on area roads and local intersections, And based on the metrics from that study that's all codified, it will determine what improvements are required to the road network. So in some instances, that would require some road widening, you know, near the site. In other instances, it may require an intersection improvement, you know, a mile from the site. So it's really running through the computations of 84 units, townhomes, how many vehicle trips that generates, and putting it into the program and evaluating it from the county's.
Will these results be made public for the traffic mitigation study?
Yeah, I mean, the traffic mitigation study, anything that's filed on the plan is public. So traffic study is part of it, and the results are reviewed by the county, and any improvements that are required have to be shown on our submittal application. So if that study says we need to widen, then we'll have a sheet on the plan set that shows widening. Same for an intersection improvement or any sidewalk, things like that.
Do you know approximately how many cars per day right now are traveling over there?
No, we did traffic counts. The challenge that we're having is that you can't get accurate traffic counts over the holidays, so we had to wait for the New Year's holiday to click over. So those little tube strips that you see on roads from time to time, those are getting traffic counts. So we had to get updated counts for this area. I'm not sure what they are quite yet because we just were conducting them after the holiday.
Yeah, I'm the president for Dorchester View across the street there. We had traffic done about 3 years ago. We got the humps put in because traffic doubled within about 3-4 years. Now it's I sit right on the corner. I'm the first house on the left.
Right
off
here.
Of, nope,
no.
All the way back, right there.
Okay.
My office sits right up, I work at home. I have the ability to work at home. My office sits looking at Wright Road. We work very hard to get the speed humps put in. Amazon paid for them graciously because they were a lot of traffic on that road. We have a lot of businesses and warehouses off over here in this area. They use that as a cut through. You got overweight vehicles that don't obey the signs going through daily. So that eventually that road's going to crumble. Traffic in the past since COVID probably doubled. It's unsafe to cross that road. We have a lot of children in our community. A lot of people walk that road. Dorchester View Boulevard with Wright Road, intersection right there, has nobody, 50% of the people obey the stop signs. Traffic study said something should be done there. Anne Arundel County said it wasn't to the point of, and they didn't have the money to, and we don't have the money to fund it, something at that intersection. We would love for somebody coming in to add traffic to our neighborhood to think about, not just bring things to code, but go above the code to fix the problem sometimes. Sometimes code is not enough.
That Linden Road is where the school bus stop is.
Mm-hmm. On Linden?
That's the school bus stop.
So you all have a stop right out on the street, or they won't come into your neighborhood?
They won't. Not the elementary school will not come in the neighborhood. The bus for elementary. And I have seen, I have witnessed cars speed past the school bus when the kids are getting on the bus.
Yeah, sadly we see that a lot because the Board of Education refuses to drive on private streets oftentimes, so they'll have to park on busy public roads, which makes it really dangerous on occasion, but I understand your concern.
Yeah, we really appreciate any help we can get from you guys. Right here is where it starts.
My understanding is that there is, have to check, and check me on this when we meet again, but I think there is some capital improvement project in this area for roads. I don't know what intersection it's for, but it may not be the intersection.
175? You're talking about 175 on down?
I just know that when we did the scoping letter with the county before we did our study, it flagged that there was a capital improvement project in this general area. So I'll have to get back to
that. I'm going to consider reducing the traffic. If on Dorchester Boulevard, a lot of people park along the road. And I'm not sure if you have any overflow guest parking factored in the townhouse development. But
yeah, I mean,
that was my concern as well.
That could happen. So.
Yeah, Courtney went over that briefly, but we can go over it in more detail. But the parking requirement is 2.5 spaces per townhouse. Now, to your point, we don't put in the bare minimum because more often than not, people have more cars than they should or they're not parking in their garage. So we try to make sure that there's more than enough surplus parking off the properties, so if folks have guests, You know, really, we see it on the HOA management side that people fill up their driveways and garages with junk, and then they use the guest parking to park their personal vehicles. That comes down to an HOA management issue that we handle. But from a code perspective, we always go beyond meeting the minimum requirement because we know what sort of the habits are of folks using overflow parking. So to answer your question specifically, there's no overflow parking currently out on Wright Road and the public street, but we do have, I don't know the count exactly, but we have several off lot.
He has 20 parking spaces.
Surplus parking spaces.
I don't know the count offhand, but we have, there's multiple locations where we're proposing, it is on the street, but streets within this development, like parallel parking spaces mm-hmm. along the roads to provide those additional guests.
And often what we'll do is as we refine, this is our sketch or initial submittal, we get into detailed engineering and final plan stage. During those refinements, we're always looking for a little extra space to add parking spaces because you really can't ever have enough.
And to that point, you're going to need it because I didn't realize what a problem parking is. What I'm trying to do is let you guys know of some of the issues, and you probably already know, but the issues, the mistakes that our developer made. I don't know who, offhand, I think I know who developed it. I don't want to say name. But they did the same thing with the parking. We still don't have enough. We still don't have enough. And the reason being is you say it's an HOA management problem. The problem is the HOA people don't get paid. It's a voluntary position. Many people don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the personnel to maintain or maintenance that,
right.
You're going to have that issue. So
just one thought on that before
yeah.
it
sure,
slips my mind, is that oftentimes where issues really get complex and acrimonious with parking is when they wait for an issue to happen with parking to then implement a parking solution.
Yeah.
And that really gets, that creates a lot of tension. So what we try to do on the management side, I'm not trying to say
sure.
that we manage two and there won't be a problem, I'm just saying our approach is a bit different. We usually implement parking restrictions and guidelines up front before the first person moves in. So there's no surprise, or there shouldn't be a surprise, that you can't park all your personal vehicles in the guest spaces, for example.
So one thing I didn't hear you mention, though, is that a lot of these properties would be purchased and rented, subleased. And so a lot of times you'll have subleases of those, maybe four cars to a house, five cars to a house. Maybe you have a family of three generations that have six cars. Of course, that falls into HOA management position, but you still have to maybe, like you said, 2.5 cars per the code is definitely not enough. I think it should be as many visitor parking as you can fit, basically, would help alleviate a lot of those issues along with an HOA management.
You're probably intimately familiar with your documents,
yeah.
And I don't pretend to know them, but when we do our documents, we include very specific language that makes it easier for the HOA when they have to enforce parking to deal with them, and that is putting restrictions on garage usages, limiting the number of cars per household, things like that. You may have them
and
you're dealing with them, but...
Speaking to the choir, we've went through all that. So what I'm saying is we don't want... There, and we have this, so we have another property to the east, north right there, right? North. That's a rental property. That line of, those are not ours. That is a separate company. They're all rental.
Mm-hmm.
All those people
just like
come
the,
and
with
park.
With a single load.
They come and park
right.
in our place. It's very difficult to get a tow truck to a private HOA because of Maryland reporting issues and insurance and liability. A lot of tow trucks don't want to tow from private HOAs. You're going to have that issue rental, and if people come in and rent in yours, then if you have more cars in rental, we don't want them flowing over to our place to park and walk across the street. We don't want that. So we would appreciate put as much parking as you can in there.
Sure, I hear what you're saying, but just to be clear, we'll do what we can.
Yeah.
We can't solve the world's problems for what's around us.
Not saying that.
And I'm not saying you're saying...
You're going 100. I'm not... 0 to 100. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is the time to be looking at these issues and ethically building, ethically developing, where you can talk to code, you can say this is going to fix this, that'll fix that, this will fix... But in real life, it doesn't in a lot of situations. So we're just going to be pragmatic. That's what we're being. And we want your help. And we want, We're not opposed to development. It just needs to be ethically done, because another issue with storm water management. Our developers did a lot of our private owners dirty. First of all, they stripped all our topsoil off and left us with clay. So that creates less grass growing, that creates stormwater problems. Our stormwater is done to code, but does not handle our issues. We have homeowners with a ground floor basement, so it's built halfway into the dirt, that fourth floor down, flooded first floors, which the developer will not fix, which when we complain to the developer, they throw us a lawyer and take us to court, basically, which homeowners don't have time, money, HOA can't do that. So there's storm, and we have other runoff issues coming out of grades were too steep where the grass is not growing on the clay, so you have nothing slowing it down. It's causing erosion. So these are issues, you know, don't take the topsoil, leave the topsoil. I know they can make money out of it, but leave it. You know, a homeowner does not know that that's a question they should be asking when they buy these. Do I have topsoil? But it's very important, very important.
What is the approximate square footage of each townhouse? Have you looked
at that? So that all will be finalized when we engage a builder at the end of this process to actually select models of homes. But on average, I mean, we're showing a 20-foot wide by 40-foot deep townhouse on this plan, and that's typically anywhere between a 2,000 and 2,300 square foot unit, depending on whether it has a one-car garage or two, or if there's an extension on the back or what have you, but that's generally the range. Now, as this plan gets refined, you know, we may change some of the unit widths, make some smaller, make some a little wider. That's generally good, so you have a good product mix rather than just the same exact house over and over again. But at this stage of the game, you know, this is what we're planning, a 20-foot by 40-foot deep unit.
Any plans to put anything in the, I think you said there's two common areas, one in the center, one on the north side. Any plans to put anything in those two areas, like a playground for that community?
So at this stage, we don't have details on what we would put there, but you know, we have many, many examples within a 5-mile radius of this site of improvements that we have made to these types of facilities. So they'll include or could include dog parks. We've done community gardens a lot lately, playgrounds, play equipment, nature trails. We've done small sport courts in certain circumstances, pocket parks, gathering areas. So we usually have like a list of different options that we can select from, and it just depends on how the site goes through the permitting and final design process to make sure we pick the appropriate amenity for that area.
Just one other question. I know this is a rough draft of these plans. Is it possible, even the thought of there maybe adding an additional entrance opposite of Hawthorne Drive, for example, if there's any future thought of that at all? Not saying that, you know, I would ask you to do it, but just, you know, because you have one entrance, I don't know if you know, you think about putting a second entrance once you know, once the final plans go in.
I mean, at this stage, we're not planning another entrance, and okay. For a couple reasons. I'm not saying it's out of the question. We could go through the traffic impact study, and it'd be suggested that we do that. But you know, the more entrances you place on this road, the more traffic movements you're going to have that could potentially conflict with other traffic and intersections across the street. So when you sort of need a certain scale to have multiple access points, traffic signals, things of that nature. You know, we're under 100 units here. 9 times out of 10, we have a single access point for a subdivision that size. Other than that, you're building additional infrastructure that the HOA would need to maintain. It's maybe not necessary, and it does create some conflicts with existing traffic patterns. So at this point, that's what we're planning.
Sure.
You know, it could change as a result of our traffic analysis, but
okay.
I would suspect probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to have one entrance.
Are you guys gonna put sidewalks on that?
Wright Road.
On Wright, along Wright Road up to, like from Dorchester Boulevard up to?
Like this?
Yeah, on that side, yeah.
We may, we need to, there's a couple pieces of that. One is evaluate the, complete that traffic impact study. There's another component of that, that the county has new regulations for, that's bicycle pedestrian, it's BPTA, that's the acronym. But part of that study will generate what improvements we need to make in and around the site from a pedestrian and bicycle perspective. So sometimes you have adequate road widths that you can do a bike lane, sometimes you put in a sidewalk. So until that study's complete, I can't say for certain, but if it comes out that that is a suggested recommendation, that's something we would consider.
Is foot traffic considered, or is it just traffic? I know the traffic study is just the traffic, but do they do a
There's two components. There's a traffic impact study, which looks solely at vehicular movement. And then the second part is the acronym that I fumbled, but it's BPTA. That considers foot traffic and bicycle traffic in addition to and separately from vehicular traffic. That's a separate requirement that we have to complete.
It's surprising, but that road gets foot traffic and bicycle traffic.
A lot. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really jumped the traffic.
For bicycle traffic, I can relate to this. If you want to go to the bike path around BWI, that's one way to get around instead of having to go on Rondeville Boulevard. But they do need sidewalks, I think, all the way.
That's something we would look at.
Oh, that's, I think the study, you said there was going to be a capital improvement. Mm-hmm. I think that's one part of it.
And
the
sidewalks
down Dorsey Road.
Okay.
Down at the end of Dorsey Road where it connects with Rondo Mills Boulevard.
Yeah.
They're going to create sidewalks underneath that underpass to the mall.
Interesting.
There's a pathway they're going to build. I saw that a few months back.
There's a meeting at the end of the month with our district.
Which will help you answer.
I don't remember what the date is.
I think that's
Is that the video lottery fund that funds it?
Yeah. Water pressure. So you're talking about, our water pressure is a little bit low as it is. It's the lowest I've ever had in Maryland. Mm-hmm. Where are we at? How is this development going? Will it affect
Again, there's like key components that we test.
Okay.
We draw up the plan. We have the meeting, we complete all the tests, we submit the package. So right now, that test has not been run until we file the application.
Right.
The application goes to many different agencies at the county, one of which is the Department of Public Works. We pay a fee to have them run what's called a swamp analysis, which includes a fire compression test on the closest fire hydrant to the site. If there's not enough pressure, then we have to look at a variety of solutions, whether it be upsizing water main, putting booster pumps in our units. I mean, there's a handful of solutions, but there's public water there. It's our job and part of the application process to test it, just like it is to test the sewer capacity and the treatment plant and all of that.
Another thing, you said earlier that we really wouldn't start seeing groundbreaking for 36 months, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have I know it's a rough draft, but do you have an estimate by how long this total project will take once you first break ground?
So it takes a project this size 6 to 8 months to complete the land development. So that means build the roads, put in the infrastructure. All you see is what we call building lots ready for construction. Really, the driver of the completion of the site is sales pace. How quickly will the builder sell houses? And that's a question I can't answer. We could be in a great market, we could be in a bad market, we could be in a middle market. That's a risk that we're taking, right? Rates could go up, they could go down. There's so many variables. But, on a site like this, this could be anywhere from 12 to 18 months sellout. It could stretch out to 2 years if it's really slow. It really just all depends on the various economic drivers that I can't predict 3 years from now.
But basically, once you break ground 36 months from now, it'll take you about 6 to 8 months to kind of clear that land, build the roads, and build the lots, and then go from there.
Yeah, Yeah, so you'll see the site work, like the bulldozers and the paving machines and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That will go on for about 8 months on this site once we break ground.
Okay.
After that, you'll just see vertical construction, homes being built.
Mm-hmm.
And those get constructed as they're sold.
Right.
So
right.
Very few builders will speculatively build 84 townhomes and hope someone shows up to buy them. So typically, they set up a sales office and open the model and ask
yep.
folks, buy a house, they'll build one, you know, they'll
yeah,
build
yeah.
them in sticks.
These are your choices, that way you give the buyer choices.
Yeah. Then the buyers can make selections.
Pick whatever design they want, pick the backsplash or whatever.
Exactly.
I guess you don't have a target price on the...
I had a target price, I could buy a lottery ticket. I would say that it's going to be comparable with resales in your area. Generally, it's not... beneficial
it's
come in and undercut the market or come in higher.
It's not the same.
The market is different.
Yeah, I mean, we hope it's the same or better.
All of them. All right, are there any other questions or comments before I conclude our meeting? I don't want to rush anybody, but I think we're getting to that.
We're also happy to stick around once the meeting concludes if anyone has. Wants to come and look at the plan or ask any more specific questions.
How big is the land that's right to the right of the
north side?
This
north
piece?
Side?
That parcel there. No,
yep.
The other property there.
Here?
Is that, yes.
Oh, I'm not sure.
About a little over 1 acre.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So you have an expert in the audience.
No, I just know about the property.
I think it's a combination of lots, right?
Yeah, this is a property. You
that person held
it.
Out, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, this is an assemblage of multiple parcels.
Yes, okay. Eight parcels.
Which are, as Courtney mentioned, there's eight total parcels. Each one has a different ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So these tend to be more complex subdivisions to pull together. I have no direct contact with this individual. But who knows, they may pop up once they hear something's going on. They may want to be part of it, but... If anything like that,
that's what I was getting at. In case
if any of that level of change would require us to come back to this stage and start over. So anytime you add units, that you're changing your adequate public facilities test, county law requires you to start over. So if we have fewer units in here, we might change widths and such, as I mentioned, you'll see that at final plan. If we have to add a whole other parcel or add units, that's a substantive enough change that we would have to take a step back and have another sketch plan meeting.
All right, well, thank you everyone for coming out. I'm gonna officially adjourn the meeting at 6:43. Thank you. Have a good